Thank you for the opportunity that we may be able to come into your presence and to worship you this morning, O Lord. Would you please speak to us, encourage us, and talk to us this morning, O Lord. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I have chosen for this morning's meditation comes from Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 to 38. Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 to 38. As I read, I would like you to repeat it after me. Would you please? When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. If you look into the context of Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. One of the most happening chapter. A lot of things have happened in this chapter. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus Christ forgave sins of a paralytical man. And scribes and everyone were surprised that who is this man who is forgiving sins? This tells us about the authority of Jesus Christ, who he has an authority on forgiving sins. And he just asked Matthew the tax collector to follow him. And later in the chapter we see that there was a ruler who came up to Jesus and said, my daughter died, would you please come and heal her, help her, and would you please come? And then as he was on his way, a woman who had issues of blood for 12 years, he touches the garment of Jesus Christ and she was healed. And he says to her that it was your belief that caused this healing in you. And then he goes on and raises this girl who was dead, the daughter of the ruler. And then after some time we see he was healing a blind person. And we see also that he was giving speech to a mute person. So a lot of things were happening in the scriptures. You know, Jesus Christ was never an idle person. He was always on the move. He was always going into towns and villages and meeting people, praying for them, healing them, preaching the word of God and telling them to repent that the kingdom of God is here and near. And in this text we see, I would like to highlight few words that we find in this text. The first word that comes to my mind and I see here is the word compassion. Compassion is one of the key important characteristics of God and of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ was moved with compassion, he had done so many things while he was on this earth. When his friend Lazarus died, he was moved with compassion. He was moved in his heart and he cried, he wept. When he was on the cross, he was beaten up, brutally insulted. He was standing on the cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, and a thorny crown on his head. But he had concern for his mother. He had compassion for her. And then we see also that when he looked at Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem. That was caused by compassion that comes from within. One of the important characteristics of Christ we see is compassion. And anything that he had done, it was done because of his love and his compassion. I come from India, where Hinduism is a majority of people are Hindus. Out of 1.3 billion people, 80% of them are Hindus. This is one of the most brutal, most difficult religion on the face of the earth. Somewhere in their text, it is said, if a low caste person happens to hear a high caste person reciting Vedas, their scriptures, you know, a high caste person reciting the scriptures, and low caste person happen to hear the reciting of the scriptures, a hot lead should be poured into his ears so that he will never hear again. And in order to gain moksha, heaven, you have to do a lot of things. You have to climb up on mountains, go down into valleys, and fast for these many days. Eat this food, eat that food. You should not eat eat this food, you should not eat that food. You have to have a lot of religious ceremonies. You have to go to a certain river, dip yourselves into the river so that your sins can be forgiven. And you have to go early in the morning, dip yourselves in the water and roll yourself around the temple. A lot of hard work. And Islam is one of the second largest religions in India. It is shocking that just only a few years later of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the most compassionate person who ever lived on the face of the earth, this man called so-called Prophet Muhammad comes, most violent man. During his lifetime he fought 90 battles, killed hundreds of people, and in his name today thousands and thousands of people are being killed. But Jesus Christ our Lord is the most compassionate one. My friend, this morning I do not know what you are going through, physically and mentally, emotionally. But know that the Lord that whom you have trusted, the Lord who has called you from the darkness into the marvelous light, He is a compassionate God. When He saw individuals in need, He moved with compassion. And He saw crowds in need, He moved with compassion. And one of the greatest Puritan writers, Thomas Watson, he said, we may force our Lord to punish us, but we will never have to force Him to love us. He is the most loving God that we have. And then the second word I see here is that they were harassed and helpless. In other words, they are the most troubled people. When he looked at the crowd, he saw them being very troubled, helpless, harassed. I think this is one of the conditions of the lostness of souls. Depression. And you are being most helpless person. In India again, in Hinduism, there is a group of people called Ayyappas. Every once in a year for 40 days they have to wear black clothes. They cannot eat meat. And they have to wake up early in the morning, take bath and do all sorts of rituals. And they have to go and climb certain mountains and dump their sins. But on their way back, they drink a lot and everything is normal. But still their lives are so miserable. They have to do it every year. When your soul is lost, when your soul is without Christ, you would be the most miserable person on the face of the earth. When he saw such people, he had compassion. And during the lifetime of Jesus Christ, and he also says that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherds. During the lifetime of Jesus Christ, the shepherds, the so-called shepherds, were scribes and Pharisees who called themselves as shepherds. And they were not leading them into right places. They were not feeding them with the word of God. They were only causing confusion among the people. And sin, sometimes sin is a cause for this kind of depression. Sometimes because of the false teachings that we have, that causes confusion. Now, religion of works causes confusion. It only makes you more burdensome. And it only makes you more feel confused. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they made a lot of self-made traditions and causing a lot of distress among people. Even today, we see in our churches, we have people who spend less time in the presence of the Lord and more time with books and information and knowledge. It is very unfortunate that in India especially, you know, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, Thomas, St. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, he came to India. He preached the gospel. He died there as a martyr. And today we have less than 2 to 4% of them are Christians. Christianity in India is as old as Christianity itself. In 50 AD, he came to India. But today, we only have 2 to 4%. And even in this small minority, we have the most liberal theologians on the face of the earth, who call themselves Christians, and they say, you know, India is the most diverse country in religions, caste, and groups, people groups and everything. And they say, India has seen a lot of violence and conflicts, so let us drop the uniqueness of Christ. Let us not call ourselves as Christocentric. Let us call ourselves as theocentric. Because God is something that can unite everybody. Let us have a peaceful coexistence. Let us have a peaceful pro-existence. It's a confusion. And this is caused because some people who are pursuing after knowledge, information, name for themselves, not spending time in the presence of the Lord. May God spare us from this kind of confusion. And the Bible says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without the shepherds. And he comes to the next verse, which is 37. He turns to his disciples then. He saw the need. He saw he was compassionate. And then he turns to his disciples and says, harvest is plentiful. Well, different scholars interpret this particular word in different ways. Some say it is the harvest of the elect. And some say it is the harvest of the judgment of God. And some say that it is the harvest of souls. This morning I would like to say that it is the harvest of souls that he was looking at. And harvest is truly plentiful. India has 2,548 people groups, out of which 2,217 people groups are yet to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Harvest is plentiful. There are 20 million people in North Bihar, one of the states in India, without a minister, without a single minister to those people groups. In Afghanistan, 93% of these people in Afghanistan are yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of 76 people groups, 71 people groups needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Harvest is plentiful. In Turkey, out of 61 people groups, 31 of them needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1040 Window has 4.5 billion people. And 96% of them are yet to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we become so numb as Christians, we don't feel the need anymore. You are saved, you are in the church, and now you are being fed, but you don't feel anymore for the lost souls. May Christ, may God stamp eternity in our hearts. May we see the crowds with the eyes of Jesus Christ. May we see the crowds, the lost people, with the eyes of Jesus Christ. There is a lot of people. If you really believe what we say we believe, that hell is real, the judgment of God is real, we are sitting in our own homes, in our comfort zones, not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though we know that the gospel can change people, even though we know that harvest is plentiful, sometimes we are too comfortable in our comfort zones, don't want to move out from our comfort zones. China, I have heard from someone that in China, when they do not have plenty of Bibles. When they have a Bible, they tear 10 pages each and would share with others, and they would copy it in their homes, bring it back and slap it without somebody else. When they hear the word of God read in the radio, they would copy the word of God. There was so much hunger for the word of God. And I don't know much about Canada. This is my first visit. But in America, I see information becomes spirituality for people. And we are bombarded with the radio stations, gospels and Bibles, information, books, and people think that by reading so many books, by reading, listening to so many sermons, you are spiritual. But there is a need out there. Harvest is plentiful. Does it cause concern in our hearts? Do we weep at all? Do we cry for the lost souls? Or are we comfortable in our Christian faith? Because every Sunday we come to the church, we have a wonderful teaching. Christ's calling is not about information. It is about doing something for His kingdom. You know, in Psalm 103 and verses 15, it says that our life is like a flower. It just withers away. And we will not be remembered. We have one life and it is short and it will be soon gone. But only the things that we do for the Lord and for His kingdom will remain. Let us examine ourselves today that and think that harvest is plentiful. An atheist once said, "If I truly believe what you believe, that Christ is real and hell is real and the judgment of God is real, I will crawl over glass pieces if I have to. I will swim across the oceans, but I will tell this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ." The harvest is plentiful. Here in this town, in this country, in 1040 window, everywhere, harvest is plentiful. And unfortunately, when the harvest is plentiful there, sometimes in the churches in North America or other places, there are too comfortable sitting and discussing, debating of things. You know, it is shocking sometimes. We call ourselves Christians, and I was told that less than 16% of the evangelical Christians would have read their Bible from cover to cover. Last night, Brother Marvin was saying, even 16% is too high. If we call ourselves Christians and if we believe this is the Word of God, have we read this Word of God from cover to cover? Not to memorize it, but to meditate upon it. Because the Word of God says that when you keep the Word of God in your heart, it keeps us away from sins. And people talk about a lot of information. But if you read the Word of God and if you pray and spend time in the presence of the Lord, it would burn your heart. It would cause a concern over the lost souls. Harvest is plentiful. And again, Christ says here that the laborers are few. In the eyes of Jesus at that time, He saw that the laborers are few. Even today, this is the same reality. The laborers are few. He didn't say CEOs or He didn't say officials, supervisors, but He said laborers, workers who are willing to go and work, who are willing to leave their comfort zones and work. Look at Jesus Christ once. He is in heaven. He is God, maker of heavens and earth. Everything is great. But He left everything in heaven. He chose to be one like us. Came down into this world and was born in the most difficult circumstances. Didn't even have a place to live. In these days, if you are an evangelist, in less than 5 years, you would have a mansion to live in. Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite preachers, he said, "Evangelists raise funds and revivalists raise hell." Jesus Christ, he lived in most difficult circumstances. He was a laborer. Every time He's on move, He walked miles together. He met hundreds of people. If you become a famous preacher, it is difficult to meet with you. We have to take appointment with you 3 years. I mean, it takes about 3 months or 6 months. But Jesus was available to everyone. And he was laboring day and night. Didn't even have a place to sleep. And he's calling, he says, laborers are few. And it is God's work. Therefore, God says here, Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest. It is His harvest. It is His work. It is His kingdom. He will build it whether we are there or not. But if you are wanting to be part of that harvest, it is a privilege. One of the greatest privileges in the whole world is to serve the Lord and work for Him. I was told once, Dr. Billy Graham was asked that he would be nominated as the President of the United States. And he said, you want me to step down from this glorious work to be a President of the U.S.? He considered that as the most glorious ministry of all the places. Well, this includes labor. It's not easy. It's not cool. It is difficult. It comes with a package. It's a labor. And these days we have a lot of people who ministers, Christians who are not laborers who are in the ministry. It is interesting. God was not asking the disciples to pray for the lost, which we should do. But He's saying, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers, more laborers. I just told you about my father. I remember that in the early stage of his ministry, even these days, that every night, every day he used to work out in the field, 8, 9, 10 hours, and hardly would get less than $1 as his payment. He hardly had one pair of clothes. He used to work and then come back home and then go and preach the gospel, come back and wash his clothes and wear them next day again. As a child growing up, I know walking miles together to go into a village to preach the gospel. Coming back in the night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock early in the morning, walking. But we used to be more energetic and happy as we come back after the prayer meeting. And I know some of the brothers who are working with Reach All Nations, sometimes they don't even have food to eat. And they walk 10 kilometers to reach to their congregation on Sunday morning. And then walk back 10 kilometers. It is a labor. And there was a time my father said he didn't have food for 3 days. And he decided that he will never ask any other human being. Because the more we depend on a human hand, we will allow less of God's hand to work in our lives. But the more we depend on God's hand, He will keep surprising us. And it was the third day, and he was lying on his cot and he was praying. During those days, he used to distribute a gospel tract called Help from Above. It's a few pages gospel tract. It suddenly fell on him, and when he opened the gospel tract, there was money in it. He must have tucked this book some time ago, but it fell on right time. It is a labor, but a labor with Christ. Because He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But their native missionary's commitment is that whether He's going to help us or not, we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a labor, my friends. Another pastor, Shadrach. He was there in 2007 by the Bible training program. He finished his training. He went back home. He was fully so much of passion. He goes onto the roads and he used to distribute gospel tracts. One day a big man, a Hindu fundamentalist, came and held him by the collar and smacked him on the ground and said, "Don't you dare to come back here again. We will kill you." He was so frightened. He called me, called us, we prayed for him. And then 2 days later, he goes back to the same street, same village, and preaching the gospel. It is a labor, my friends. It is not easy because the harvest is plentiful. The lost souls are plenty of them. And it is a labor. But laborers are few. And then I've heard testimony of 4 brothers who came into the training program. One person was in a financial fraud. He ended up in jail. His cellmate happened to be a pastor who was wrongly accused and put in jail. pastor shared the gospel with this man. He gave his life to Christ, came to the training program, goes back into the tribal area to preach the gospel. There's another man who was a Hindu fundamentalist who went about persecuting Christians. His wife became sick. A pastor goes to his house, prayed for her. She gets healed. And through her, he becomes a Christian. And now he came for the training program. He now is serving the Lord in the most difficult place. Now he is being persecuted. There's another man, he comes from a Naxalite movement. It's called a Maoist movement. Like they try to loot rich people and help poor people, but it became so violent. He was caught by police and he was to be executed. He was to be illegally killed by the police because they wanted to just get rid of him. And as they were searching his pockets, they found a calendar, a small pocket calendar with a picture of Jesus Christ. And the one of the police officers happened to be a Christian and tried his best to release this man because he thought he was a Christian. They asked him, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "I'm a Christian," just to escape the death. He goes out and he began to think, this just picture of Jesus caused, relieved me from death. How much more he should be relieving me from my soul, sinful soul. He goes to a church, came to know about Jesus Christ, listened to the gospel, gives his life to Christ, came to the training program, he's now serving the Lord. It's amazing. It is a labor, but with fruit. Sometimes even without fruit, we will go and continually serve the Lord. There was another time I heard this amazing testimony. This man was in debt and so much depressed, wanted to commit suicide. He doesn't know how to swim. He goes into the river to kill himself. As the water was up to his neck, there was a paper hit on his cheek. And he opens it up. It happens to be the Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16. God so loved the world. He never in his life heard something like that. A God who can love. A God who sends his own son into the world to give his life as a sacrifice. Oh, he runs out of the water, goes to the nearest church, listens to the gospel and gives his life to Christ. It is a labor, and Christ needs laborers. And I pray that in the days to come, God will raise some laborers in this congregation to go out, maybe here, maybe somewhere else, to go out and preach the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that that passion will grip us, that there is a need. We cannot sit comfortably, but to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are hundreds and thousands of people dying every day without the gospel, without Jesus Christ. And in the last verse, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Another word that sticks out here is prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. A powerful tool, a communication tool to talk to God. Have you talked to God this morning? Do you talk to God regularly? It's like a relationship. You love somebody, you want to talk to that person. The more there is a gap, the more there is a strain in the relationship. Is your relationship with God right today? Do you begin your day with prayer? Do you end your day with your prayer? Jesus is the most perfect example for prayer. Why did Jesus pray? He's God. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Why did he pray? Theologically speaking, there could be three reasons. One is that he prayed as an example for us. That we look at him as an example and we follow him. Second of all, he's fully human. He's fully divine. So it is perfectly alright for a Jewish believer to spend time in prayer. And thirdly, he is a member of Trinity, and this is how they communicate with each other. He prayed on a daily basis. He prayed for others. He prayed with others. And he prayed alone. He spent nights together. chest alone in the presence of the Lord praying. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ our Lord, He spent whole night in prayer. He withdrew Himself, went into mountains, solitary places, to spend His time in the presence of the Lord. In this world, He felt so out of place, but when He spent His time in the presence of the Lord, He felt at home. Where do you feel at home? When you watch movies? When you spend time with your friends? Or your loved ones? Or when you pray? In the early church, New Testament church, they didn't have much information, much resources. They didn't even have a printed New Testament. But the Bible testifies that they have turned the world upside down. Today the world is turning us upside down. Because there is no power, there is no prayer. There is a cry, outcry against not having prayers in schools where there is no prayer at all in churches. We cannot have revival with 1 hour a week prayer meeting like Sunday. It needs much more than that. There was a time in my life I was doing ministry. No prayer, no studying of the word. That is the most driest time in my life. Spending time in the presence of the Lord is the most sweetest thing that a Christian can do. Even if you don't do great things for the Lord, but if you can spend time in the presence of the Lord. When was the last time you said to yourself that I'm going to take a break and throw myself in the presence of the Lord and pray? We give time for everything, all sorts of things. These days churches are more program oriented, not prayer oriented. Where we will see power? Where does the power come from? We see, we complain that there is no revival like in the olden days. There is no outbreak of God's work. Why does it come? And how does it come? Without prayer. My friends, this morning I would like to encourage all of us. Jesus Himself spent a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. Let us have that discipline of praying and spending time in the presence of the Lord. Not out of duty, not out of guilty feeling, not out of feeling that we have to do something. No, if you are in right relationship with God, you will automatically spend time in His presence. And the Bible says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Most lacking thing in the churches today is prayer. I met preachers and pastors who are so knowledgeable. They read all sorts of commentaries, read all sorts of information, spend a lot of time. Sometimes even Bible study can be used by the devil to make us fall. Because we'll be proud that I know this much. There is no fame in prayer because you pray in the presence of the Lord alone by yourself. Nobody is seeing you. Only God is rewarding you. And there are no free crowns in heaven. Let us think about it for a minute. We just read in the scriptures that when He saw the crowds, He had compassion. Our Christ, our Lord, is compassionate. And people were harassed and helpless. And even today we see a lot of people harassed and helpless because of the lostness of their soul. And the harvest is plentiful. And may our Lord open our hearts and eyes to see the world, see the crowds, and see the harvest with the eyes of Jesus Christ. And then God is calling laborers. Would you be one of those laborers for His kingdom? Maybe God is calling you this morning to be one of those laborers. And pray that the Lord of the harvest send more laborers. Pray Prayer is the most powerful thing. Should we close our eyes? Spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Just a few minutes. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. Pray that maybe you are one of those laborers. Just a few minutes. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. Oh Lord, please help us. We call ourselves believers and we call ourselves Christians. But there is no meditation of the word in our lives and our hearts, and there is no praying. Would you please help us, O Lord, to come into your presence and pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. Bless this church, O Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I ask this prayer. Amen.